Name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dearly beloved in Christ, our modern world has developed the philosophy of pleasure and comfort to such a self-deceptive degree that it views any kind of pain or suffering as an evil, having no value, and should be avoided at all costs. It's only from our spiritual training as Catholics that we can come to view the cross of our sufferings as one of loving divine providence, not one of accident or fate. Our souls are sanctified through a triple cross, which consists in fulfilling the duties in our state of life and bearing the circumstances of the present moment and of resisting temptation. By patiently enduring this triple cross, we fulfill God's will in our lives. Many, nevertheless, still find it difficult to understand the cross, much less accept it. They complain about their trifling sufferings and fear the possibility of a large cross which may loom in their future. They have often heard of the value of suffering from the wisdom of the saints, such words as, "The way of the cross is a royal road to heaven. Suffering is the gate to our heavenly home. Earthly pains are the roots from which spring the flowers of heavenly joys." My dearly beloved in Christ, nevertheless, because the demand of our will is so strong, we want to have our life our way, we want things done our way. Many fail to see God's hand in all things, and instead view all with fear, anger, and repugnance. This is also why they have no true peace. By placing a firm faith in the love which God has for us, and in His infinite love for each and every one of us, we become able to trust Him in all things. God knows how much suffering and how much joy is best for our soul. He's the best judge of what crosses can strengthen our weakness, bolster our faith, cut down our pride, and increase our charity toward our neighbor and our love for God. We must learn to accept virtuously whatever God sends us, the circumstances of the present moment, and whatever the next moment may bring. Perhaps trust is the most needed virtue in our present troubled world of uncertainty and danger. Trust not only frees us from fear, but also brings with it peace of soul. My dearly beloved in Christ, the Gospels of the first two Sundays of Lent, when placed side by side, teach us many important lessons in this regard. First, we see temptation, then transfiguration. Sacrifice and then reward. The purpose of the Transfiguration was to strengthen the faith of the apostles, to confirm their hope, and to prepare them for their own sufferings. After warning the apostles of His coming sufferings, Christ was transfigured before them in order to encourage them by this hope of future glory. This was to help them traverse the roughness of the road which leads to it. My dearly beloved in Christ, our life on earth is similar. It's a probation period, a period of passing. We're on a road, hopefully the road to heaven, a road which requires effort and sacrifice. We follow this road during life by faith and with hope and an everlasting reward, knowing that if we partake in the sufferings of Christ, we shall partake in His consolation and glory. Holy Scripture tells us of the Transfiguration so that our hope, too, will increase and urge us not to be afraid to take up the cross. We must be prepared to willingly accept the cross which God permits in our lives in order to win the glory which will one day be ours in heaven. My dearly beloved in Christ, suffering is inescapable. Social position, wealth, and political power cannot render us immune, nor can goodness. Suffering is one of life's most important questions. Atheism and agnosticism have no explanation. Neither do many of the false religions. Agnosticism and the world of science and the intellect cannot give acceptable answers for it. They're impotent in the face of suffering. They fail to explain pain or help us to bear it. My dearly beloved in Christ, this leaves a sufferer who is a non-believer filled with fear, anger, and rebellion. for he or she views suffering only as evil and does not see the good to be drawn from this apparent evil. The answer can only be found in Christ and his cross. This life is a time for gaining merit and for suffering, not merely for rest and enjoyment. God could have built a universe filled with machines and robots, which were programmed to do his bidding, a world without virtue, morals, or character. Instead, he chose to create a moral universe so that by the right use of our freedom, character could emerge. It's a spiritual universe in which there's a choice for good or evil. Morality implies responsibility and duty, which can only exist when we are free. Stones have no morals because they are not free. Take freedom away from life, and virtue is impossible. Thus, Almighty God created us free to choose, to be the captains of our own destiny, because he desires to rule over us by freedom, not by force. This makes our allegiance to him meaningful, since he has given us the freedom to act against his will or with it. After grace, the greatest gift of God to mankind is the freedom of soul and mind and the power to love him in return. My dearly beloved in Christ, it's entered into the minds of many that if they were God, they would destroy evil. What they fail to realize is that by destroying evil, they would also destroy human freedom. And God will not take away our free will. Those who blame God for allowing people the freedom to go on hindering and thwarting his work are like those who've seen the mistakes on students' tests and condemn the teacher for not doing the tests himself. At that rate, what would it prove? Every person is rewarded or punished according to his works and will be given their just due. Heaven is more than sufficient reward for our efforts and should inspire us to resist the sinful pleasures of this world and patiently bear the sufferings we're asked to endure in order to attain it. St. John tells us in heaven there shall be no more death. No mourning, no crying, no sorrow, no pain, no grief. There'll be no reason to suffer, to desire, or to fear anything. There'll be no poverty, infirmities, or inconvenience. We have nothing to compare with the magnificence of heaven, for St. Paul has said, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what things God has prepared for those who love him. My dearly beloved in Christ, St. Anselm tells us that on earth joy enters into us, but in heaven we enter into joy. Our body and soul will be plunged into an ocean of delights that are not natural, human, or angelic, but we're sharing in the joys of God. Freed from suffering and every burden, we will find perfect rest, joy, and peace of mind. All anxieties and pain will be forgotten. No matter how great the noble cravings of the human heart may be, they will be perfectly satisfied with the delights of heaven, which are far beyond our comprehension. Since none of us are ever completely happy in this world, the idea of complete contentment and perfect happiness can only be imagined and are reserved only for those who get to heaven. My dearly beloved in Christ, there'll be no persecutions, envy, or jealousy in heaven, for all will love each other and rejoice at the happiness of the others as if it were their own. Each will know that their state of happiness will last forever, so they cannot fear its loss. While everything on earth is subject to decay and change, in heaven it's quite the contrary. All this will culminate in the greatest joy of heaven, which is that of seeing and loving God face to face forever and experiencing the fullness of his love. This gives meaning to the reason why we should resolve to patiently bear our sufferings, which are insignificant against the background of heaven. How so little on our part can gain so much is truly a mystery in itself. Thus, being faithful even in the little things which may cost us effort will bring tremendous dividends. The sufferings of the present time, says St. Paul, are not worthy to be compared with the glory to come. When the sufferings of life afflict us, we should raise our eyes to heaven and be consoled with the thought of everlasting happiness. If we remain patient and faithful, our sorrow will indeed be turned into joy. St. Mary of Egypt, at the end of her life, was asked how she had been able to live in penance for 47 years in the desert. She answered, with the hope of paradise. If we become animated with the same hope, we will find that we will not feel so deeply the pains of this passing life. We will no longer complain of them. We will rejoice in the benefit derived. The following words of wisdom are from a Benedictine monastery. The more perfect a person is, the less loud and the less frequent will be his complaints, until finally none is heard from him at all. And the more a soul endeavors to refrain from complaining, the sooner will that soul attain to perfection. In closing, I've never observed anyone bear their suffering more patiently, cheerfully, and bravely than my mother. After Thanksgiving, my sister wrote, since she was staying with, my mother was staying with her, "Please keep Mom in your prayers. Her arthritis pain is quite a cross, but she stays cheerful." And then a few weeks ago, after my mother's death, Pat wrote, "Taking care of Mom for the last several years was truly a blessing. Despite her increasing disability, she never lost her kindness, patience, or good humor." Recently, I discovered a short piece written by my mother entitled, "No Cross, No Crown." We cannot expect to go through life without crosses. Our pilgrimage here on earth is a testing ground. How we live our lives will determine where we will spend eternity. God gives us crosses so we can share some of His passion. Crosses such as sickness, death of a loved one, poverty, family problems, delinquent children, and the like. The list goes on and on. God is not punishing us when we are given a cross. How many people have asked the question, "Why me? God must be punishing me." Nothing is further from the truth. Spiritual writers have said, God gives His crosses to those He loves the most. Look at what His Holy Mother suffered, knowing she was raising this beautiful child for sacrifice, to die in order to open heaven for us. Look at the apostles, His chosen ones. Every one of them suffered a terrible martyrdom after being totally worn out from their travels and preaching. And even though St. John did not die, he was put into a cauldron of boiling oil and then came out healthier than before. God wants to shorten our purgatory. Through our crosses, we can spare ourselves intense suffering in purgatory. The key is how we accept them. In hospitals, it's pitiful to hear the cries and moans of people who are cursing God for their pains instead of asking God to assist them and offering them up. God never gives a cross without the grace to carry it, if only we ask Him for help. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.